Reading is John chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 37. This is on page 899. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Julia. Let's pray together as we begin. Jesus said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. If you have opened our eyes and brought us out of darkness into your marvellous light, please shine your light on the pages of your word now. May your word be a light to our feet and a lantern to our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know if you ever think to yourself, why me? If you are a believer, why am I a believer? Why are my friends and family not believers? Perhaps more to the point, why don't they believe? Are they less intelligent than me? No. My brother got better A-levels than me. Are they not so nice as me? No, definitely not. So why? They've heard about Jesus, they've heard the gospel. Sometimes they've heard a lot about him. I've done my best to explain to them, I've lent them books. It just doesn't make any impression. Why don't they believe? Why do I believe? It's a puzzle, isn't it? It's a puzzle. Why do some believe and others not believe? Well, this puzzle is tackled head on at the end of John chapter 12. Here we are, reaching the end of our series through John 10 to 12. And here, John tackles this head on. You will have noticed, actually, throughout the gospel, that this theme of belief and unbelief, light and darkness, has interwoven through. Well, here it is now, fully faced. And we'll start just slightly before the reading. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. Why did Jesus hide from them? Why did he hide? I think the only explanation in the context of the passage is he was sort of acting out a parable of their unbelief. He was demonstrating to them where they actually stood that Jesus was hidden from them. Not just physically hidden for that time, but spiritually hidden. They could not see who he was. When he did his miraculous signs, we don't need to go through them all, do we? We've come back to them time and again through this series. But when he did his miraculous signs through this gospel, he did them openly. Everybody saw them. There was nothing hidden about those. You can't hide raising a man from the dead, can you? Which was the most recent and the last of the signs. So they'd all seen that physically, but they hadn't seen spiritually. They hadn't seen what these signs meant. They could not see who they pointed to. They just didn't. They still didn't see Jesus as God's promised son. Now, if we have a problem with that, how much more must it have been a problem for John and the first disciples of Jesus? After all, we've got used to the idea, that sad though it is, that not many Jews come to faith in Christ. Some do. There's an organization called Jews for Jesus. And they are Jewish people who believe in Jesus as the Messiah and seek to bring that message to their fellow Jews. But they're in a small minority. Not many Jews come to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, we've got used to that idea. But in the New Testament, and still actually to our converted Jewish friends, this is a constant source of grief and amazement. Why not? Why did not God's people believe in God's Messiah? And it wasn't something new. This hadn't just cropped up during the ministry of Jesus. This unbelief of God's people goes way back. If you know your Old Testament at all, you will know that the Old Testament is riddled with it. It goes back 700 years, actually, as John himself points out to us, when God spoke to his people through the prophet Isaiah. We have this in verse 38. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah says, this is chapter 53 by the time we get to this. Isaiah says, I've been preaching this for 52 chapters and they still don't believe it. Lord, who is going to believe this message? I'm just about to tell them about your servant who's coming to suffer and die in their place one day. Who will believe it? They just won't believe it. He found no response of faith from them. And 7 centuries later, all this was fulfilled. It was all fulfilled in the time of Jesus. And the people around Jesus fulfilled it, ironically, by not believing in him. They had these prophecies. They had the whole Old Testament. They had all that history. And they didn't believe. Why not? Why not? With all those advantages, why was Jesus hidden from them? Why were their eyes closed? It wasn't that they were stupid people. No, they were very learned people, very learned in the law, very learned in the traditions and customs of their people and their history. Were they particularly evil people? No. Very upright religious people, very righteous people, very correct and particular people. Why didn't they believe? Well, John tells us they did not believe because they could not believe. Verse 39, there it is in black and white in a 5-word sentence. Therefore, they could not believe. They could not believe. It wasn't only that they refused to see the truth. They could not see the truth. They were unable to see it. Now, I've been reading this past week, thinking about this subject, a little bit about what it means to be born blind. Have you ever thought what it would mean? Not to go blind later on in life, but to be born without any sight. Well, I think it is impossible for a sighted person to imagine what that's like. We can read about it, we can think about it, but we cannot imagine living with no visual impressions whatsoever. You know the classic You know the classic puzzle, don't you? How do you explain red to a blind person? Well, the answer is you cannot. You cannot. They will never know what red is like, or green, or blue, or yellow, or any of the colours, or anything visual at all. One of the fascinating things I read this past week is blind people do dream, but their dreams have no pictures. Astonishing, isn't it? They cannot see anything at all. And that gives us some inkling of this spiritual blindness that's being described here at the end of John chapter 12. They could not see Jesus. They had no clue. There he was in front of them. There was all that history and prophecy. Nothing. They could not see. And Isaiah explained why. Verse 40. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. This should bring us up short, shouldn't it? Why could they not see? Because God had blinded them. There it is in black and white. I didn't make it up. It's there. John didn't make it up. It's there in Scripture. Here is this Scripture fulfilled in the rejection of Jesus by his own people. He has blinded their eyes. So when people can't see who Jesus is, it's not a sort of misfortune or a muddle. It's God's will. Now this applied in a particular way to God's people. They had accumulated centuries of unbelief, culminating in their rejection of God's Messiah. And alongside that, and underneath that, is God's hardening of their hearts. This is known as a judicial hardening. It was God's judgment on their unbelief. And in this sense, this was a particular case of that, particular tragic, astonishing case. But in the Bible, unbelief is always linked with God's judgment. Always. It isn't just ignorance. It's caused by God's judgment and results in God's judgment. And that judgment was not just for them then, but on every one of us born into this world, because we are all born blind to the truth of God in Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. It all began in the Garden of Eden when Adam hid from the presence of the Lord, closed his eyes to God. And the punishment was, out of Eden you go then. You will not see me. You will not know me. You will be blind to me. God's judgment on an unbelieving human race. So human beings by ourselves cannot believe. We sometimes have this sentimental view of children sort of naturally believing. They are not. Children do not naturally believe in Christ. They have to be told and taught. That's why it's such a precious ministry to children. We are born blind. So as a race, we're helpless in our blindness, but as individuals, we're also to blame for our unbelief. I cannot blame God if I have not accepted his Son, because it's all there for me. Now you say, well, how can both those things possibly be true? Well, they are both true. The Bible teaches us that they're both true, but we just can't, in our limited perspective, reconcile them. God is sovereign, and I am responsible, and both those things are true. Our spiritual blindness is God's righteous judgment, but if we stay blind, it will be entirely our own fault. Now, of course, The Bible tells us that the devil also plays a limited role in this. Yes, he does blind the minds of unbelievers. He keeps them in the darkness if he possibly can. But we can't just shift the blame onto him. God only allows the devil to do what he permits him to do. And we are responsible for our continuing blindness to God's truth. So we are helpless and we are guilty. Now we don't like that, and so we try various ways of getting around it. We say, well, I'm helpless, but it's not my fault. It's how I was treated when I was a child. So of course I can't trust in Jesus. No. I'm very sorry you were badly treated as a child, but it's still your fault if you don't accept Jesus. He is actually the one who can heal you. Or we say, well, I'm guilty, I know what I'm like, but I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to do loads of good stuff, and, you know, that'll make up for it. No. Because by taking that very attitude, you're saying no to Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, saying, I can do it, I don't need him. No, we're guilty and we're helpless. Our only hope is to accept that and we'll find healing. That's how Isaiah goes on, isn't it, in his great prophecy. Lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Here's God stretching out his hands to his people. I will heal you. Isaiah was speaking from his own experience. You probably know the context of this prophecy. Isaiah was born spiritually blind like the rest of his people. When God first opened his eyes, how did he react? Oh, great. No. Woe is me. For I am a man of sinful lips, and I dwell among a people of sinful lips, and mine eyes have seen the Lord Almighty. So when Isaiah first saw God, he knew his guilt and helplessness. And when he knew that, God healed him. As he promised, he took away his sin. He sent an angel with a coal and said, touch my lips, behold, your sin is taken away. What has changed? Spiritual blindness can be gloriously healed, and it's always and entirely the work of God who has done it. The greatest evangelist of the 20th century has to have been Billy Graham, preached to millions of people, millions and millions. Hundreds of thousands of people came to faith in Christ through his ministry. Journalists once asked him, Mr. Graham, how many thousands of people have you converted? Billy Graham said, not one. Not even one. Only God can open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Only he can save us from the judgment we deserve. And he does it by opening our eyes to Jesus Christ. In the news, every so often you hear about people who have been born blind who receive sight. It must be astonishing, mustn't it? Absolutely astonishing. Just like we can't imagine what it's like to be born blind, we cannot imagine what it's like to see for the first time, all of a sudden, everything. To go from darkness to light, physically. Astonishing difference. An indescribable change. And not an easy adjustment. The testimonies I've read say, it was a frightening world that I came into. A huge, vast world, so much more, so much bigger than I imagined. I felt dizzy, I felt lost. Not easy getting your sight. And in some ways, it's not easy spiritually either, is it? When Jesus healed that man born blind back in chapter 9, do you remember, the man also came to faith in Jesus. He healed his spiritual blindness. He saw, not only physically, but by faith, who Jesus really was and believed. And did life then go swimmingly for him? No. He was chucked out of the synagogue, excommunicated by his own people. Life suddenly became a whole lot harder and more scary. So spiritual sight doesn't always make life easy. Others in Jesus' day were also beginning to see the truth, even some members of the ruling council, but they were very tempted to hide the fact, no, I'm still blind, really. Look at verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Now, we read this passage together at the staff meeting, as we often do, last Monday, and I was tempted to be very, scornful of these people. Perhaps they weren't really believers at all. You know, how could they do this? How could they pretend that they weren't believers? But my colleagues pointed out that we all do it. We all do it. We all get scared. We all live as though we were blind people because we're afraid of what others might think. Sometimes blindness is more comfortable than sight. But I've actually never heard of someone physically who received their sight asking to be blind again. And when you stop to think about what spiritual sight really is, it is unthinkable, isn't it, to say, take it away, Lord. Once we've seen the truth in Christ, we all let him down, we all duck out, but how could we really want to go back to the darkness? Now, some of these secret believers did eventually confess their faith, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, for at least two of them, who, of course, were members of the council and eventually buried Jesus' crucified body. They had seen who he was. They couldn't go back. And they were the ones that Jesus was appealing to, and not just to them, but also to us, verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Isn't that astonishing? Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. So if we by faith have seen who Jesus Christ is, we've seen who God is. What is God like? He's like this. People sometimes say, don't they, if I saw God, I would believe in him. Well, here he is. Do you? I mean, many people physically saw Jesus, but many people didn't believe in him. And billions of people down the ages have believed in Jesus without physically seeing him. We shall one day, of course, but we haven't yet. So this appeal is not only to those who saw Jesus physically, it's the appeal to all to whom Jesus has been presented since. However we heard about him, the only question that matters is, do you see him now? Do you trust him now? Are your eyes open now? Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. To see Jesus with faith is truly to see God. It's to have our spiritual blindness healed. That original sin of Adam taken away, hiding no longer. Seeing God, being seen by God. Freely and openly. And knowing that everyone needs that, knowing that it's the only way that anyone's blindness can be healed. Just as we close, do you know that story from Christianity Explored? Rico Tice tells how he almost lost his best friend. Because when his best friend discovered what Rico believed about Jesus, he said, why didn't you tell me? I thought you were supposed to be my friend, Rico. Yes, our unbelieving friends and family are in darkness. And Jesus made it clear that there is only one way out. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. After all, as he said, he is the light of the world. No one need stay in the dark. Amen.